Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, September 26, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 156, the second paragraph. At midnight, he came home exhausted, through one paragraph ending 30 years of hard drinking had been repaired in four. We're going to be reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G., 12 Traditions, Alex K. Readers of the text, Lois P., Larry G., and Eileen M. The reference number for Monday, September 25th, is 20,673. That's 20673. And for this morning, Tuesday, September 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,675. That's 20675. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Susan S.H., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone who's been of service for this entire month. Oh, preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. I'm Letty G. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery today, and these are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Don, for your wonderful and beautiful service that you give, and also thank everybody for being here because you're making this meeting possible. I pass.
Thank you so much, Letty G. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered for today. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. for you, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 156, that second paragraph. At midnight, he came home exhausted. Through one paragraph ending, 30 years of hard drinking had been repaired in four. And we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. I will now ask Lois P. to begin reading.
Thank you, Dawn, and good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. At midnight, he came home exhausted, but very happy. He has not had a drink since. As we shall see, he now means a great deal to his community, and the major liabilities of 30 years of hard drinking have been repaired in four. I find this so interesting that it was midnight. At midnight, he became exhausted. At the darkest moment of my life, I became exhausted. And yet, he was very happy, as I was, because something was about to shift. And in owning his possession, his obsession, his hiding with his alcoholism and hiding from the way he had been destroying himself and destroying his life, and now coming forward, things changed for him. This is where the light entered him. He has not had a drink since. Something profound happened. It happened to him when he decided he had had enough hiding. He was no longer going to stay in that shame and darkness, and he wanted to tell the truth about how he had been living his life. And once he admitted that and he was able to share that with other people, the light entered him. A whole new way of being became possible for him. As we see, he now means a great deal to his community because he spoke from his heart. He shared his weakness. He shared his fears, I'm sure, in expressing why he lived the way he had lived all those years. And that was the same for me, you know. I wanted the facade to be who I was to other people. And yet I know other people knew. All they had to do was look at me being, you know, almost 80 pounds overweight. I was not happy and competent, even though I pretended to be. And so the honesty, the rigorous honesty, and the being exhausted from playing the game is what's happening to him here. And when we're ready and that moment happens, that stroke of midnight and the next moment there's a new day, when that begins to happen, how many years of devastation can be wiped away in moments, in a few moments or in a few years? So this is a really blessed paragraph. It's a perfect moment for him, as it was for me, and I'm just so grateful that God brought me here at this time with all of you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Press star one.
Lisa N.
Lisa N. Was that Chris A?
Chris S. in Washington.
Chris S. Very good.
Larry G.
Larry G.
Jessica C.
Jessica C. Okay, I have Lisa N., Chris S., Larry G., and Jessica C. Lisa N., please go ahead and get us started. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dawn, for your service today. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can. And let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Sure. I'm calling from Scotland and in the UK. And I'm on vacation with my family. And we're having a lovely time. We're touring right now. And we're at a place where people like us would usually not go. The people that are doing this tasting just set four places with the other people that I'm with something that we would never want to eat again if we are recovered. And it's only by God's grace that I'm sitting here, and I can't believe that the man just came up and did this. But it's such a blessing because I'm not like, you know, trying to steal from these people what's been set out on this table by me. I am having a cup of tea, and I'm very grateful not to be into the food the way I was. And this whole trip has been such a blessing, and I didn't know how it would go because I haven't ever taken a trip like this since I've been recovered in program. And it's really God has blessed me so with this program that I just want people to know if you are going to travel and you're worried or if you're new to the program, there is unbelievable hope and things that you would never believe that you would be able to do because of God. And I would just cling to that relationship wherever you are, whenever you're in a tight place. It's amazing. So I guess that's all I have to say. I could love reading or hearing that paragraph and share. And I'm grateful to be on the line. So thankful for this program and your service, everyone. That'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa Ann, now in Scotland, in the UK. Thank you for sharing. Chris S., please share with us, followed by Larry G.
Okay.
Star one, Chris.
Okay, good morning. This is Chris S. in the state of Washington. This is a wonderful paragraph. I was at that darkest moment yesterday. Felt like all day yesterday was that chaotic morning. Waiting for kindergartner, my grandson, to get off the bus, that he didn't come off the bus for 12 minutes. We did not know where he was. He was on a different bus. He was safe, but you know, the panic started. Last night, my dear friend of 36 years passed away, and you know, it was bittersweet. I loved her. I will miss her. And yet, she's in a much better place. I don't know that I could have visited her again to see her in her condition. I made my telephone calls. I didn't go into the food. I felt my feelings. And normally I'm one who I put them in a compartment and stick it in the freezer. Instead, I felt the feelings. Finally, after making those calls, saying my prayers, I went to bed, did my step 11, went to bed. Then this morning is a new day, a brand new day, a wonderful day. I'm so grateful for this program because it can take me through the darkest moments and open into the sunshine of the day. Thank you for all of you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and the folks who are helping making this meeting happen. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris S. from Washington, and sorry for your loss. Larry G., please share with us, followed by Jessica C., and then I'll be taking some more names if you happen to be just joining us. We are on page 156, talking about that second paragraph. At midnight, he came home exhausted through one paragraph ending 30 years of hard drinking had been repaired in four. So, Larry G., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry G., grateful member of this fellowship here in Northern California. This moment that he is now experiencing after going out and making amends, it is indescribable. It's beyond profound. That moment that I went out and made amends, the first time I made amends, and each time I've made amends, that a ninth step, it feels as good as having my first child, or getting married to the one true love of my life. It is indescribable. It's a profound moment in a surrendered, recovered member of this program, member of this fellowship, recovered compulsive eater. It's just, I don't have the words to describe it. And you may be asking yourself, how is it possible that one could be drinking for 30 plus years and or 40 years and within 4 hours clean up his life the way Dr. Bob did? It's because it's a spiritual phenomenon. You can't explain it. It is a miracle that all of us who have done step nine, who've gone out there and repaired the damage, have experienced. I have, and I've talked to many people in addition for you to have, and over the past 43 years, known countless of others who have gone out and done step nine, have done terrible things in life, lived a slimy, manipulative life in the cups of our disease, and have repaired their lives within, you know, a matter of a day. It's possible for me. It's possible for everybody. And what is not being said here is, at 12 o'clock, I'm sure Dr. Bob is just starting to get, you know, he's just starting to drink, he's just starting to get loaded. How many nights did I eat compulsively at 12, 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning and then felt like I wanted to die the next day? He's going to wake up, just send shivers up my spine, up and down my spine. He is going to wake up the next morning, and his life is going to be fundamentally changed forever. He's going to wake up not wanting to drink, but wanting to live. He's not even going to begin to even realize the full gravity of what happened in the next 24 hours. It's just impossible to really even grasp that. Again, to me, this is a spiritual phenomenon that we talk about throughout the Big Book. You know, a person goes out and really screws their entire life up and screws people over, makes their amends and patches things up, And then God grants us a life. This is when the promises come true for us. God grants us a life beyond our wildest imagination. And I have an extraordinary life today. I live beyond the ordinary. Things that I have going on in my life today are just miraculous. And with that, I'll pass. Back to you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Jessica C., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names.
Hi, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. This paragraph reminds me of the amends that I made when I got recovered back in February, March of 2021, and it was still, it was during the pandemic, there were still restrictions in place. So I had to do my amends virtually. I did some amends with coworkers on video calls, and I had to make these amends because I had been really difficult and aggressive with some coworkers. I booked meetings with these coworkers. We met over a video call, and there's something about a video call that feels even more intimate than, you know, seeing someone face to face. So I was, terrified of seeing these people virtually and making amends for my harmful behavior. But it was true for me too, that that form of surrender of saying to God, okay, God, you want me to make these amends so that I can be relieved of my food obsession. You know, I'm yours. I will do this. So taking that act really did erase my compulsion to eat compulsively, and repaired my relationships with these people. You know, I always thought, gosh, it'll never be okay with these people. You know, first of all, I acted terribly. Then I had to, you know, make this admission that I'm, you know, apologize to them. And maybe that would create all this awkwardness with them going forward. And that is just not true. I have a good working relationship with these people, and I don't carry any remorse or awkwardness about having to make the amends or the behavior that led to the amends. So all of that fear was just turned out to be unfounded for me. And, I feel like I do mean a great deal to the communities that I'm in today, in my workplace, in my family, in my fellowship. You know, I get to contribute in ways that I wasn't able to before, before I did work the steps, before I did make those amends, in complete abstinence. You know, I'm able to be present and loving and useful today. So, with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Jessica C. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So we're talking about page 156, the second paragraph that starts with, "At midnight, he came home exhausted." So who would like to share?
Marie M.B.
Marie M.B.
Vicky T.
Vicky T. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Elizabeth A.
Elizabeth A.
Liz A.
Liz A. Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. I have Marie M.B., Vicky T., Lizbeth A., and Liz A. So Marie M.B., please go ahead and get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Great. Hello.
What
Marie M.B.
Go ahead, Marie MB. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fantastic. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Thank you all for your service and happy to be here today. This reading just really takes me back. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater after a short relapse and working through the steps again. But it took me back to the very first step 9 that I did. And I just remember I had my long page of amends and determined to work them through. And I'm one of those people that's an overthinker. And my tendency would be to overthink every single thing. But for some reason, at that point in my journey, I just decided to go for it and made all the amends that I could as quickly as I could. And I just remember expecting everyone to be, so happy and receptive to my amends. And for the most part, that did happen. I don't even remember how many I had. It was quite a few. But I remember two distinctly. One woman, I had no response from her whatsoever. And that was kind of surprising after having had some responses before where people were very supportive and positive, and I was able to make amends and restore our relationship. So that one kind of threw me for a loop, and then I realized, with my sponsor's help, that, my job was to make the amends and not to judge the outcome. The outcome wasn't up to me. The job was to get the amends done, and I did that. The second one, and I still remember with a chuckle, is I had made amends to a coworker and a lovely, lovely lady, and I had hurt her in I had said something that was really awful, and I made an amends to her. And her immediate response was, "Are you in a 12-step program?" And I was taken aback because I hadn't followed like a formula or anything. I just apologized for what I had said and wanted her to know how sorry I was, and that going forward I wouldn't, I would be more cautious about my tongue and what I said or whatever. But I just remember that one particularly, both of those two, because they weren't what I expected. But I do remember after getting those amends done, and even not even after, but going through the process of making the amends, how light my heart got from, just drudging through life and just feeling so heavy and burdened with the things that I had done. With every amends, it just became lighter and lighter. And by the time I had ended that step 9, I was a different person. And my life was full of light. And I just can't even describe how different I felt. And I'm still grateful and get excited about doing step 9. I don't know if that sounds weird, and probably does, but when I have gone through the steps a couple times since then, and I'm even going through them now, and I will have some amends, some things to repair, but I'm determined to do it. And I just recommend, enjoying step 9, taking that process, not spending a lot of time hesitating to get them done, because it's so worth it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Marie M.B. Vicki T., please share with us, followed by Lizbeth A.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vicki T., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in South Florida. And I can relate to the 9th amends being something to enjoy and look forward to. And believe me, years ago, never would feel that way. I've been in program for a really long time, and years ago they had a little saying of take what you like and leave the rest. That was great for me. I was off and running. I wrote my own big book, and I left out the chapters that I thought were ridiculous. And step 9 to me felt completely ridiculous. Why would I dredge up something from the past? I got away with it, so good deal, Wow, I think so different now. I'm so cautious of every little thing that I do because I don't want to have to go and make amends. And, I had some large financial amends that I had said to myself that I was never going to make. And, never say never, right? And I actually got to the point where I couldn't wait I couldn't wait to make them, and it was just God changed my heart, and I made them, and it just changed me. It just changed me, and it just allowed me, like other things, it allowed me to really do a better job of practicing these principles in all my affairs. I was very good at being very lovely to people in program, but not so lovely to people at work. Not the people I work with, the actual customers. And God changed my heart, and I love the customers now. I help people that didn't necessarily buy from our company, you know, just because they're people. I never thought that way. So, yeah, I have a lot of good things to say about step nine. It is definitely a life-changing step for me. The word exhaustion came up for me because, you know, when I'm in, you know, I haven't been in a while, thank God, but when I'm in my disease, I'm exhausted. I am completely exhausted. When I'm in the food, I cannot get out of bed, nor do I want to get out of bed. And living self-will run riot is exhausting. That's why I said somewhere in the step 11, I can't say it exactly, but something like, we do not tire so easily because we are not foolishly trying to run the show. And that was my life, foolishly trying to run the show. I'm just much calmer, much, much calmer. And that's thankful to step 11. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vicki T. from Florida. Lizbeth A., please share with us, followed by Liz A. And just a quick reminder, we are on page 156, talking about the second paragraph. At midnight, he came home exhausted. So, Lizbeth A., please share with us.
Hi, thank you. This is Lizbeth A. from Michigan. I actually used to say Liz A., but I kind of find it humorous. There's a couple of us. So, either way. This is so great for me, this paragraph, because it brings up a couple of things. Some of the memories, I've been in program a long time, and I had a supervisor that at a job that I absolutely loved, actually at a treatment center, and it was prior to my coming into Overeaters Anonymous. I had already a spiritual relationship, a relationship with the Lord, and yet my eating disorder was off the grid, and some of my behavior was erratic, and she couldn't even figure it out, and I ended up quitting the job, and when I went back to make amends, because I was bulimic, purging, exercise bulimia, undereating, overeating, many people couldn't see the disease on me, but they certainly saw it in my behavior. So when I went back to make amends, it clicked for her, and she said, oh, that makes sense. Like, because she couldn't grasp that I was a great employee, and then when stress and I was in graduate school, it became too much, and my behavior wasn't good anymore, and I wasn't able to maintain any kind of sane living. I do remember also another supervisor years later making amends to her, and she would go off and berate me. And another occasion came up that I was going to make amends to her, and I was in her office, and I said I was sorry for whatever my, I tend to have a mouth on me, a bit of a temper. And she started to berate me, and I said, oh, no, this is not going to happen again. I said, I have to go to the bathroom. And I went into the bathroom and got on my knees and prayed. And, you know, I came back, but we were not going to continue down that path. And when it came time, she was taking another job out of state. I arranged a going away party for her, and we went in on gifts and so on, and it was like, okay, that's the best amends I can make. The final thing that comes to me is that to whom much is given, much will be required. I feel like it's a constant for me to give back, and I'm going to mess up. I used to be afraid of messing up, and, you know, I had an incident Saturday. I was not happy about my temper and how I behaved. So anyway, I continue to have opportunities to grow. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lizbeth A. Liz A., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take some more names.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. This is Liz A. in Los Angeles, California. I've been in programs for many years and I've made many amends, but it really wasn't until this program that I was really making amends. In the past, I made amends with expectations in mind of what I was going to get. And if I didn't get it, I would lash out. And about a year ago, I went to make amends to my brother in another state. And he and I had not been able to have a decent relationship for years and years. And when I made amends this time, I truly told him my worst defects of character that had come out in dealing with him, you know, jealousy and envy. And I never thought I would say that to him. I didn't even admit it to myself for a long time. And, you know, immediately afterwards, he said, it's a start. And since then, I have been making living amends to him. Because I want to, because it feels right. And the other day, I had a conversation with him about the possibility of me moving to Florida and to be, you know, near him and his family. And he was so gracious and so kind and blew me away by how he offered to help me. And I'd been very scared about this possible move, you know, a lot of stuff to get done, a lot of things to think about, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And so he just was incredible. And I thanked him for his graciousness. And it's a miracle. It's nothing short of a miracle that I have this relationship with him now. And it is, it's a transformation in myself and in him. Because when you are real with someone else, you don't know how that's going to impact them as well. And, you know, I've made other amends where such wasn't the case. You know, an amends to my mother, and she just, thank you, I'll end with that. She just didn't give me the response I wanted, but it doesn't matter because I feel so good about having made my amends. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. And now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Donna.
Wendy.
Donna J.
Donna J. Wendy M. Press star 1 if you'd like to share. Mo H.
Deb E.
Deb E. Okay, let's stop there. I have Donna J., Wendy M., Mo H., and Deb E. Donna J., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Donna J., a compulsive eater, recovering in the steps with a vision for you, and I'm in Reno, Nevada. So anyway, I've been in and out of the program for 25 years, and I was in a situation where there was a ruckus at the dance that I was at, and the police came and talked to some people and stuff like that. And then I asked a person that I knew, I said, what was that about? And she told me the one person's side of the story. And so I said, oh, okay. And so then I took it upon myself to give my opinion based on one side of the story to the other person. I said, you know, I think you should just leave here because this is, you know, her place and you should just leave. And so uncalled for. None of my business, all this stuff. But anyway, so a couple of years later, I ran across him at another dance and stuff, and he was standing there. And all of a sudden, it just went right to me, you know, like this God thing, this message, and said, oh, my God, apologize to him. And so I went right over to him. I said, do you remember me? He goes, yeah, it'd be hard to forget. And I said, I just want to tell you, I am so sorry for what I said then. And I would not do it again. And I really am sorry I did it. And he just lit into me, you know. And what he was doing is he was letting me know what it was like for him. And so so everything he said, I said, oh, I agree. And, you know, he'd say, you're really a jerk. And I said, you're right. I agree. That's why I'm saying I'm sorry. And so we went on and on and on. And I let him get everything out. And then I realized, you know, I just have to wrap this up. I've done the best I can, and just he knows I'm sorry, and I'm just gonna say goodbye. So I said, okay, well, I just wanted you to let you know that, and so I'll see you later. And I turned and walked away, and he said, oh, but thank you for saying that. And I said, you're really welcome. And he said, oh, thank you so much. So there was a situation where he needed to let me know. Well, anyway, I had hurt him. Then he got a chance to hurt me back. But he caught himself after he realized, okay, I don't need to ream her out anymore. Okay. And he, and so anyway, he said, thank you. And I felt great about it. From then on, when we saw each other, it was, the hatchet was buried. It was fine. We would dance together and everything like that. So the amount of forgiveness that comes when we really make the amend and say, I'm really sorry, is so wonderful. It's just a gift to the person. And even if they berate us that day, it doesn't mean it's going to always be that way. They may come around the next day or something like that. So anyways, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna J. from Nevada. Wendy M., please share with us, followed by Mo H. And if you could take a two-minute share, that'd be lovely.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I'm in Colorado. And, Don, thank you for your service. And all the shares are fantastic today. So I've been in the program 22 years. And when I started doing the amends, the thought came to me that I'm pretty awesome, right? Like, they should be pretty happy that I'm doing this. And I was in the world of getting, not giving. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was doing it anyways, and that was okay. That was all right. But, you know, what I was after in a selfish way was, you know, how do I, you know, this is a great thing, these amends, because people like me more. And then I got kicked out of somebody's office, and that's probably my favorite amends moment thus far. Because it was so humbling, and I've done many, many inventories on it. And what I'm finding in you know, now in 22 years is, oh, my God, I had no idea the depth of my selfishness, the depth of how I use people. You know, and it comes when it comes. And yesterday I was talking to somebody. I'm on my fourth step. And I said, you know, I pretty much don't have any sex harms because, you know, everything was really mutual. I've never really harmed someone sexually. It just, you know, I'm pretty much good to go on that. And she said, well, did you use any of them, any of these one-night stands, for example? Were you a user? Did you use anyone? And I said, absolutely, 100%. I said, I don't know who isn't going to be on my harms list because, that's, you know, I say I'm swimming in it. You know, my disease is swimming in selfishness. I don't even know that I'm not being selfish because I'm swimming in it. It's the air I breathe, right? And then she said, well, did you use these people? I said, 100%. 100% I use them. And the minute I even said that to her, I got relief. It was like, I don't know how to explain this, but it's like, oh my God, I've been doing this and I can stop. Like just having the awareness in step four, right? And then at some point making these amends. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Mo H., please share with us, followed by Deb E.
Good morning. Dawn, this is Mo H., a recovered compulsive eater and a sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. Well, this paragraph to me is a paragraph of hope. It gives us hope. It gives me hope. And I was curious at midnight. I think of midnight as being the end of one day and the beginning of a new day. And midnight used to be my bewitching hour when I stopped my grazing. I would graze all day long and I would end at midnight. So like that day was over and I could start a clean slate. And that's what an amends is. It's like ending that troublesome part of my life and opening it up to a new life. And one of my most difficult amends was financial to grocery stores where I stole food. And I just did not want to make them. And I remember calling my sponsor sitting outside the grocery store, and she said, just ask for God's guidance, pray to God, bring God in with you, and it, you know, all will go well. And I'm telling you, did I feel like night and day when I walked out of the first grocery store? The woman even gave me a hug, the manager of the store, and said, that must have been difficult. And I have never done that behavior again. It's like a bright light has been shone on that behavior that I thought was okay because my parents did it. I thought it was okay. But that a bright light now when I go in, it's like, nope, not that's hot. You know, that's a hot flame, not going near that. In fact, it doesn't even bother me anymore. So, you know, exhausted, but a good exhaustion. Because it's a freeing exhaustion. And having made these amends, I do feel much, much freer in my life. And when they come up again, I have no problem getting right to it. And with that, I pass.
Hi, Mo H. Thank you so much for your beautiful share. Now, Deb E., we just have a minute left if you want to take a minute share.
No problem. Thank you. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I just want to say this paragraph, I just find it so impressive at the way he just, in one day, he basically got all his amends done. It just makes me think of how much willingness he was full of and willingness and courage. You know, it took me a couple of rounds to get through all the amends that I needed to make that, you know, for stuff I had done before I started in program. I just didn't have the willingness for some of them or the courage right away. And just, I like how he said he was afraid, but he did it anyways. And that the definition of courage that I like the best, that we're afraid, but we do it anyways. And I'll end with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb E. What a lovely way to end the meeting for us. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Larry G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then until keep you until then.
Yes, Larry G., California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then, I pass.